Revelations chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. You may be seated.
Good morning. What a blessing it is to be able to be here. We are thankful that you're here. Thankful that we have some guests with us, and we want you to know we'd love for you to make Seven Oaks a permanent part of your life and to be able to worship and honor God with us. That's blasphemy. Recently, I was talking and thinking about some things that were being said and often in our culture and our world and the use of God's name and God being even misused and abused and how he was ascribed to certain things. And I thought that we have lost the idea of what it is to be blasphemous in our nation. Now, in other countries, for example, in Pakistan, it is a very serious thing to be accused of blasphemy. In Pakistan, about a decade ago, Bibi, was accused of blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad. She was working with some other ladies in the fields when she, who herself is a professed Christian and follower of Christ, in a strongly Islamic nation and very conservative Islamic nation and Islamically controlled nation of Pakistan, where it is on the books illegal to be saying blasphemous or negative things about Muhammad or Allah, she was talking with these other ladies in the field and she was accused of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad. She's arrested. She is found guilty in a trial and sentenced to be hung. Her case is appealed. This goes on for about 8 years before it reaches the Supreme Court of Pakistan. It was a pretty big political issue and topic of discussion in that nation. And the Supreme Court acquitted her of the crime, saying they didn't believe there was enough evidence. And really it was a issue in the country of really combating some of the more liberal ideas of the country of trying to say we don't need to kill people because they say something negative about Muhammad, to the very radical far-right Islamic groups who were then very upset about this. And riots broke out all across the country. She was kept in prison. And just this past January 2019, she was privately, in secret, escorted to freedom and was allowed to leave the country. Her very life was at stake. Because, not just because she was a follower of Christ, that wasn't the crime. The crime, though that certainly was a part of it, in their view, the crime was saying blasphemous things against the Prophet Muhammad. Blasphemy is a very serious thing. It's very serious for Asia Bibi. It was something that really almost cost her life. It's something that was the primary cause of the Jewish leaders assigning the idea of crucifixion of Jesus. They wanted to have Christ put to death because they claimed he was being blasphemous. He cried out that he was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh. And they said, this is blasphemy. And indeed it would have been if he really wasn't the Son of God. And so when he's on trial before Herod and before the Jewish Sanhedrin and even before Pilate, the issue is, what can we put him to death for? And the Jewish legal rule they tried to put Jesus to death for was that he was saying blasphemous things against God. Blasphemy was very serious. And it still is. And so what is blasphemy? What is it and how should we know about it? First of all, blasphemy simply means to speak evil. It is a defamation, a speaking negatively. It is also used in connection with slander or to revile. It is to dishonor. It is to make mockery. To make mockery of God or to make mockery, light joking of holy things. It is to speak evil, to ridicule, to make fun of, to denounce God or other things. It is a violation of the glory, majesty, and power of God. And it's used abundantly throughout Scripture. And I want to give you three things that if we were to label, and I want you to train your ears to when you hear these things. Because in our nation, we're not listening and then going to take somebody up here to court and have them tried when they say something blasphemous. In fact, we can hear blasphemy roared from our TV sets every day. From our movies, we hear blasphemous thoughts from our leaders and those who are talking about on the news and things, talking about numerous political and moral issues. We often hear blasphemous things as God is abused, and we hear blasphemous things about God's word when people want to talk about it not being true and talk about there not being miracles, true miracles of the Bible. I want to strip God's word from having any of that truth in it. Those are all blasphemous. So what I want you to do is I want you to train your ears so that when you hear things like this, you can have a stamp, mental stamp, and you can say, that's blasphemy in our own lives. We can be guilty of saying blasphemy, but we can also be guilty of doing blasphemy, and we'll talk about what that means. And I want us in our own lives to say, that's blasphemy. I don't want to do that again. I want to repent of that. And I want to give you three things that when you hear, when you do, when you see, you can say, that's blasphemy. It's not in the Bible. It's not as like we've made it in our culture, this big sin that's just out there that nobody really ever does, or that's just kind of reserved for like the people that need to get really in a lot of trouble. No, it's something that you and I can be guilty of. And it's something that we hear all the time. We need to understand. The first form of blasphemy that we need to understand is that blasphemy is when God is spoken evil of. It's when we speak evil of God. That's blasphemy. And this is probably the most common and most often thought of form of blasphemy. And it's when someone speaks directly about God and is disparaging or dishonoring of Him. For example, in Numbers chapter 15, verse number 30, the person who does anything with a high hand, whether he is native or sojourner, reviles, blasphemes the Lord. Oftentimes in the Bible, the term blasphemy in the original is translating in our language as revile, to slander. In Leviticus 24, the Bible speaks about this concept in verses 11 through 16. And it speaks about an Israelite woman's son who blasphemed the holy name of God and cursed. And they put him in custody, verse 12, till the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. So this young man had blasphemed the holy name of God. They put him in custody. This is under the old law. The Lord spoke to Moses. He said, bring out of the camp the one who cursed. Remember, cursing in this connection is not just as we think about curse words that are a specific set of foul language words, but this is literally cursing in the sense of abusing the holy name of God. Let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Let all the congregation stone him. Speak to the people of Israel, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. Blaspheming in the Old Testament was worthy of death. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In the book of Revelation, we won't read these references, but in chapter 13, chapter 16, chapter 17, talks often about how there were people in this two sides of the war going on, the Romans and those who were persecuting Christians, who were blaspheming the name of God regularly. And really the issue was, for those Christians in the book of Revelation, were they going to stay true to the name of God, or were they going to give in and be blasphemers too? When they were asked, are you going to go to the temple? Are you going to offer your pinch of incense to the idols? You're doing blasphemy. But if you don't do that, you're going to suffer as a Christian persecution. You may be lose your job socially. You may be become an outcast, and you even could be thrown to the lions or burned at the stake. But don't blaspheme, is what John is saying. For the Christians in the book of Revelation, it was very similar to what people like Asia Bibi face today in Pakistan. If you claim Christ, then it is a blasphemy of Islam and Muhammad, and it could mean your life. You see, it is very clearly to speak evil of God by denying Him. People do this all the time. People can speak evil or wrongfully of God to dishonor Him. In a very direct way, people use the Lord's name in vain. We need to be cautious of this in our own speech. We need to be aware of this as we hear things said. And parents teach children this when they hear the name of God in movies used idly or phrases like, oh my, and then the divine name. Or the divine name connected with some type of cursing or damnation. Or the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord used, and then that used in a curse word way. Those are wrong. We need to understand that we are taking what is to be reverenced above everything else, the name of God, the deity and the authority and awesomeness of God, and we are taking it and we're using it in a way that's actually lower than other humans. You don't want your name abused like that. You would be offended if people used your name like that. But yet, we certainly would not ever want to use, and we should never condone anyone using the holy name of God in such ways. And so we need to be aware that that's blasphemy. We also need to be aware that when we hear atheists, agnostics, secularists, whoever that is, ridiculing the Word of God, ridiculing and speaking evil of God, or ridiculing and making fun of Christians and traditional paths or traditional issues like marriage being between a man and a woman or other moral issues, and they want to make fun of God and make fun of the Bible that we believe, that's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. When we strip the Bible of its miracles or we say that it's not the Word of God, that's blasphemy. And we've got to understand in our mind that's wrong. They're disparaging the holy name of God and the holy Word of God. Let us never be a part of it, but let's never get so callous to it because we hear it so much at our work, at school, in our entertainment industry, we hear it so much that we become callous to it, that we certainly never should adopt it as our speech, but we should never be comfortable with it in our lives. It is blasphemy. Secondly, let me say that we need to label speaking evil of others as blasphemy. Now, this is not the primary way that blasphemy is used, as we often think about it, speaking evil of God. But it's used and referred to often in the Bible as being blasphemous when we speak evil of others. Now, this is often translated to revile, to slander. For example, in Acts chapter 13, verse 45. Paul has come and Paul has been preaching in the synagogue, and the Jews saw the crowds. They were filled with jealousy and they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul. And the Greek term is they blasphemed him. The English, my ESV version says they reviled him, because that gets more of the sense in our language today. They were ridiculing him. They were reviling him. They were slandering him. They're blaspheming the name of Paul. They're blaspheming the works of Paul. Later on in chapter 18, verse number 6, the same thing happens when they opposed and reviled him. They reviled Paul. They blasphemed him, and because they rejected his message. We see this often in the Bible. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, Paul says, when he lists off numerous sins, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. That's blasphemy. That's the term for blasphemy. Slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Notice that blasphemy is connected with slander. It is slander in this passage, but it's connected with anger and wrath and obscene talk. For me to slander another person is blasphemy. For me to say evil, lying, gossiping, things that accuse and run you down in a negative way, that's blasphemy. And that's wrong. And it's to slander. Now, if you think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, he's talking about this same concept. He does not use the term blasphemy here. But he says in verse 22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And here's the idea of blasphemy. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Now, it's not wrong for us to say, I don't believe that person acted foolishly, because the Bible talks a lot about foolishness, and Jesus even talks about the wise man and the foolish man. And so it's appropriate for us to say that person's acting foolishly, or that person is acting in an inappropriate way. But it is wrong for us to have such disregard for another human being. This is where you get into the issues of hate, the issues of racism, the issues of disrespect for another human being who is created in the image of God. And you want to say, and this is what Jesus is talking about, you insult them and you have no value for who they are in their created nature before God. You think they are worthless. They are worth nothing, and you want to insult them and revile them and slander them. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy if we do it. It's blasphemy when others do it. It's blasphemy when people do that to Christians today. When they want to blaspheme Christians today, or when people in our world want to blaspheme the church or you for standing for what's right, that's blasphemy. That's what Paul endured. That's what the apostles endured. That's slander and blasphemy. And so we should not ever have such an attitude. It's irreverence and obscene, unholy speech. We don't want to have such. And then the final thing I want you to realize is that when you do this or see this, you label this as blasphemy, is when we act unworthy of our God. You may be surprised to learn, I have to say that I hadn't looked at this in this way, is that when we ourselves act unworthy of God, we can do blasphemous things. And more importantly, maybe, or at least probably the idea the Bible's wanting to emphasize here, as it does directly, is that we can cause others by our actions to blaspheme God. Let's look at the Bible on this. In our own actions, we can be guilty of blasphemy. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1, Paul writes and he says this, let all who are under a yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be blasphemed. ESV says reviled. It says that slaves, you make sure you obey your masters in that context. He's talking about slaves and obeying their masters. Because the name of God is at stake, so that through your teaching and through your example, God will not be blasphemed. Look to Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 5, talking to the women here, to the young women. He says to them, love their husbands, love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I want you to hear me on this. Through our example, our marriages, in the kind of relationship we have in our marriage, through your example in this context, women and how they relate to their husbands, their children, and how they serve and work in the church. And certainly it will be true for the men. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20, you have two men named Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom he's handed over to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, in verse 19, it says they have rejected the faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander were men, Christian men, who were not living consistent with the Christian faith. Therefore, Paul says they are blaspheming. They're bringing shame on the name. Everything we do as Christians, and this is, we may not always like this, right? But we have a reputation that is at stake. We have an example, a witness, a testimony that we're giving out. And the world is watching. And if we live in ways that are inconsistent with the Christian message, then it causes others to blaspheme the name of God, to speak evil of God, because they say, you know this, this is what our culture is dealing with, because people say what? Well, those Christians, they claim this, but let me tell you what they do. Those Christians, and many people have been burned and have been turned off to what they consider Christians and who they consider Christians. Why? Because of the behavior of those Christians. In fact, Paul will speak about this in other places. And he says, or Paul himself talks in Acts chapter 26, verse 11, about this idea. And he says that he wanted to make Christians blaspheme God. That's what Paul was trying to do when he was a persecutor of the church. He wanted them to blaspheme God. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul himself says he was a blasphemer. He had blasphemed when he was a persecutor. Thus, we should not give opportunities for others to blaspheme. You see, your light is at stake. Your example is at stake when it comes to other people are watching. And your behavior can cause you, if it is poor and if it is wrongful and sinful, to actually be blaspheming God. But it can cause others to blaspheme God. Look to James chapter 2, verse 7. James chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to what James says. He says, are not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name, are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? He's talking about the rich. And he says, these rich people that you're trying to court, they're the ones who blaspheme the name of Christians. And then listen to Romans chapter 2, verse 24. People in the culture who were blaspheming the name of Christ. Now he's talking about the Jewish people and how they lived in a way inconsistent with God. And he says, verse 24, and this is our, we should never want this said of us. We should never want this said of the church here, or your family, or your own name. For the name of God is blasphemed. I'm going to change the language here. He says among the Gentiles. I'm going to say in the city of Mayfield, in your workplace, in your friends and family, because of you. He says the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. The name of God is blasphemed in your community, in your family, at your workplace. And then notice what he says. Because of you. That's what God said about the Jewish. That's what Paul, through inspired, says about the Jewish people. The Gentiles don't respect God. You know why the Gentiles don't respect God? Because you Jewish people have not lived up to your calling. You haven't lived up to your calling in God. And he's telling that to the church today. Church, live in such a way so that the world cannot blaspheme the holy name of God. Now, he's not saying that they're not going to use him, as I talked about earlier, in all these derogatory ways. But what he's saying is, when it comes to our example, when it comes to our witness, when it comes to the life we give off, don't let it be because of you. Don't let people run down. You know, we talk about marriage and all the problems going on with the world in marriage and how people are wanting to redefine marriage. And many people are wanting to give up on marriage and say, let's just not get married. Let's just live together. Those of us who are married, let's live in such a way so that when people see a Christian's marriage, they say, that's what I want. They say, that's what God intended. That's what I want. When they see us as parents raising children in the way God taught us to raise children, they say, that's what I want. Rather than say, look, it doesn't really make any difference if you go to church or not, if you believe the Bible, because they have all the same problems we do. When they hear your tongue and they listen to you speak all throughout the week and they know that you speak differently than everybody else at work and everybody else in that peer group because your tongue is different, they think, I know who that person is. They believe in God. They're a Christian. You see, don't let people speak evil of God because of you. You can't control other people. You can't control what everybody says in the community about things, but you can control you. And so as I thought about this lesson, and I thought about that's blasphemy, it reminded me of 2 Samuel 12:14, where David had sinned with Bathsheba, and the prophet says to him, talking about this, that he had given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. We ought to live in a way that we don't give occasion for people to blaspheme. And so blasphemy, it's when we speak evil of God. We've got to control our tongue when we speak about God. It's when we speak evil of others and slander others. And it's when we act unworthy of our God. Now I want to close by considering the patience of God. Thankfully, we don't hear everything bad said about us. Right? Aren't you glad you don't hear everything that someone might say about you? It's not good, right? And if someone was running your name down, really you don't need to hear it. Wouldn't be good to hear it often, right? But I want you to think about God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. But God, in his all-knowing, omniscient, all-powerful capacity, never doesn't hear something that he could hear. God hears every time in all the world, 7-8 billion people we have, every time his name is blasphemed. God hears every time that someone curses his name, speaks wrongfully of his word, he hears it. Yet God is patient. God has allowed this world to continue to exist. He's patient. When you think about Romans 2:4-8, Philippians 2:9-11, he talks about how Romans 2, it's storing up the wrath. All these names are storing up. All this blasphemy is eventually going to be poured out, and the wrath of God will come out against this. And Philippians 2 says that in the final time, every knee should bow and every tongue will confess. Ultimately, everybody that's blaspheming and all the blasphemy things that are being said out there will ultimately have to surrender on the day of judgment to God and realize that he was who he said he was. And in our own lives, I hope that you can realize that most, I dare say all of us, have said blasphemous things, have done blasphemous things, speaking about others, speaking about God, and have certainly lived in ways that have caused other people to say, man, if that's their God, I don't know if I want to follow them. Or is that really what a Christian does? I mean, we've done it, hadn't we? We've all done those things. The thought I want to leave you with is, God's not like Pakistan, and when someone says something about Prophet Muhammad, they want to hang him. Thankfully, our God is a patient, long-suffering God who hears everything, sees everything, but He allows His name to be trampled through the mud. He now allows His name to be spit upon, and He allows His reputation to be harmed even by those who claim His name. And He still loves us. He still cares for us. He still forgives us. And He still grants us a home with Him in heaven. And so don't take blasphemy lightly. But realize that when we are guilty of blasphemy, we have a God who still loves, even though we've brought shame to His name. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation and put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life and come back to the Lord, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.